Hey, this is Jim McDonald. Welcome to episode 122 of the PowerCast. This episode is a Q&A we did a couple weeks ago. We're sliding it into this position in the schedule. Next week, we'll see the return of Mr. Chad Wesley Smith, the PowerCast. Our sponsors for this episode, howmuchyoubench.net, thepowermagazine.com, cavemancoffeeco.com, Apeman Strong at apemanstrong.com, shop Compex USA at shopcompex.com, and Rogue Fitness at thepowercast.com/rogue. Hit us up on iTunes with 5-star ratings and reviews and likes, and enjoy this episode. You lose anything, did you?
Oh my God.
Recorded live at Super Training Gym in West Sacramento, California.
Recorded live!
Mark Bell's PowerCast. Alongside Silent Mike and Jim McD, here's your host, Mark Bell.
He really puts a lot into that Jim McD at the end.
Yes, he does.
Why is that, Jim?
God love him. I don't know.
Did you gave him a little something?
You gave him the McD?
I gave him the line reading and it's still not right, but you know, it's close.
He just couldn't perform. Yeah. He had performance anxiety.
Yeah, you know, I had like 5 minutes to record the thing with him as he was heading out of town. So,
good riddance.
Good riddance, Dick Lickerson.
There's almost a food famine here in Sacramento when he was here so long.
One of our newest members, Tom, he's just totally baffled by the Dick Lickerson name. He's like, what's his real name? Is his real name Lick? Or is his real name
Richard,
Nick?
Richard Lickerson?
I'm like...
Neither.
I'm like, his real name is Matt Nickerson, but his real name is Dick Lickerson.
Yeah, I don't even know.
That's what we call him. We know him.
I never called him Matt, I don't think.
No, he's too fat.
Yeah, Matt.
Fat Matt was not a bad name.
Fatty Matty?
Yeah.
That might be what he is on my phone, maybe.
Oh, well, that's what he is on Instagram, Fatty Man.
Oh.
What about Fat Dan breaking a world record?
Ladies and gentlemen, please go to StormCloud.
Put your hands together right now.
The biggest bench press ever done with 16-inch arms.
Oh, my God. They're flabby, too.
16-inch flabby arms.
They're 16-inch arms that look like they're 11.
Anyone else that benches 400 pounds has jacked 16-inch arms, but he has flabby grandma 16-inch arms. And
the hair on his arms is larger than the arms themselves.
If he shaved his arms, they'd be 13.
He does a decent job of shaving them triceps, though. He knows that tricep hair is unacceptable.
Of having his roommate shave his triceps.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah, and it's a male.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Kenny Cankles.
It's weird. They got engaged on his birthday.
That was weird too. That was a weird post.
Make sure you put that up, Jim.
StormCloud415 on Instagram. Don't follow him. Just look.
Yeah, don't follow him.
Just look if you're smelling shit. Have that look on your face while you're looking at his Instagram.
Yeah, and then move away quickly.
God damn, Fat Dan, ruining everything.
Don't follow him because you don't want to go where he's headed.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't know where he's heading.
I don't want to know any of it.
Yeah.
How's your pec smelling?
It feels all right. It's, I guess it's just not as bad as I thought. Sometimes when you get injured, shit just kind of moves around. So it was, I felt a pop on my left side, kind of near my pec/shoulder area, and now it just seems like it's just ran off into the back of my shoulder. So it doesn't feel the same as it did after the contest, and I was able to bench 135 pounds for 10 reps the other day. So
we're no doctors here, but how are you going to go about rehabbing it? A lot of people asked and talked about on the YouTubes and Instagrams, like, hey, Mark, how are you going
to
do it? I hurt my
100% shit. Honest, I'm not a fan of rehab. I think you just wait until you feel better, and then you start going. And you, if something hurts really bad, if something's sketchy, then you back out of that plan and, start to rethink what you're about to do. But I also like to just try to focus in on the things that I can do and not worry too much about the shit that I can't.
That's why you're doing biceps 7 days a week?
Yeah, a lot of biceps, a lot of squats with the safety squat bar.
Biceps recover quickly, right? Isn't that the story?
Yeah.
Biceps, triceps?
I think
abs
so.
Abs all recover really quickly.
Calves.
Calves and the cows.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the pec will be fine. And, you know, rehabilitation, I think, is more of a coming off a surgery thing. Because it's important for the person to restore full range of motion. But again, if you're 2 weeks out from, a bunch of knee surgeries and stuff like that, I think that you would restore full range of motion if you simply just waited until your knee felt better. It'd probably be easier to move around.
Yeah.
Coming out of a cast or something like that's a little bit different story, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's just a question of whether or not it's one of those injuries that, like, it's going to build up scar tissue if you don't keep the range of motion going. I don't think that pec is – I don't think we're talking about that because there isn't any range of motion impediment with a pec that you won't overcome just using it.
Yeah, right? you just go by feel.
I think there's always a line, too, that needs to be drawn between being hurt and being injured, right? So maybe you're right in between those right now, but injured probably means, like, you can't move your fucking arm.
Yeah. I should point out that when it happened, it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt at all. And then the next day, it hurt a tiny bit. Scale of 1 to 10, it was like a 3.
Yeah.
And if I was to flex my pec or move around, it would double. It would get to a 6. But there was nothing alarming. Nothing ever hurt all that bad.
Yeah. And everyone's like, Mark didn't tear his thing. He did not, like, rupture it. It does not explode. No. But there's a million ways to tear and a million degrees to tear something. I mean,
you can tear along the muscle, and it's not as big a deal as
you can tear a piece of my heart.
Yeah.
Mm. With my teeth.
That would mean you'd bite my tit.
Yeah.
I have 2 seconds of a rant here before we get started.
Jim McDee.
I was driving on the way here, and I have noticed. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but
this is actually good for his blood pressure, by the way. Healthy.
That somewhere along the line, everybody became so fucking self-absorbed when they drive that they give zero fucks about your turn signals. We could just take them off of cars altogether, and it would work just as well because no one will fucking let you in.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, when somebody drives erratic and doesn't use their blinker, you're like, that motherfucker in front of me is crazy.
Exactly.
And it makes you more alert and more aware that guy's like, just going to do whatever he wants to do on his own. Yeah. On his own.
Yeah, is he drunk?
Well, I was trying to merge in at where I got on the freeway. I was trying to merge in, and there's the lane there ends up becoming an exit only lane. So I got to get out of it, or I'm going to end up back off the freeway, right? Well, all of these fucking cars and trucks.
That's
and
a shitty area too, though.
Yeah, right. It is
to get on and off.
There's
the
like fucking semis and big panel trucks and all this shit. All of a sudden, trying to come together, and nobody wants to let anybody over. And I'm fucking driving my wife's Mini. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what I drive. It's still going to happen. But motherfuckers are paying no attention at all. People keep, you know, they're going 75 in the fucking slow lane in a merge lane. It's like, come on, guys. Seriously.
That area has two of our major freeways hit each other. And then automatically, like less than a mile away, one of our major freeways goes down to 2 lanes for some reason.
Right.
Yeah. There's always traffic there 24/7.
It's really, really bad. So finally what I ended up doing, because I couldn't get over and I had like maybe, I don't know, 100 feet, less than 100 feet before I'm off the freeway again. I literally just like faked over, like I didn't have enough room to move.
In boxing, that would be called a feint.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I did.
You threw like a fake jab.
Yeah, I turned the wheel into that lane, and then
motherfucker, I might be coming over that way. I might not be.
Yeah, exactly. It's like get the fuck out of my way, and actually the guy finally did. It's like Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
But I think we should just take the turn signals off.
You think that's a California thing? Everyone says people drive like shit in California.
What if it was just not a turn signal, but something dead center in the middle that just lets people know that you might do something crazy any moment now?
A flag
you might
pops
make
out.
Some sort of crazy fucking move.
Yeah, a flag pops out.
Or
bitch,
balloon.
I'm drunk.
You get a balloon on the back of your car.
If everybody had
somebody
balloons.
Somebody else starts chasing you, like maybe a gorilla or something.
Yeah. You could start throwing bananas around the freeway.
A turtle. Throw a heat-seeking turtle missile at somebody. Fucking knock their balloons off.
Yeah. Actually, the thing that I've always
so hard sometimes.
The thing I've always thought about is paintball cannons on your car.
Oh, yeah.
You just start firing at people who are doing shit that annoys you.
They just give them a warning.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
and then cars with more paint on them on the road are the shittiest drivers.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a pink. Here's an orange. Here's pink. Here's a red.
Yeah, it's always the people with their car all bashed up. They almost turn into you, and you're like, well, they clearly have done that move before.
How many times have you almost sideswiped somebody or had somebody sideswipe you nearly who the whole car side of the car is, like, trashed?
Yeah exactly.
How do people not get some of that fixed? Like, their shit's totally wrecked. Like, I understand it's expensive, but if you have, like, your front, your side, and your back beat up,
yeah, it's just all. It's just
get
all,
a new car or get a fix.
It's all fucked up.
I think we should just drive bumper cars. Just big.
I don't know why there's not some kind of bumper,
like all the way around the car.
Yeah, something. Yeah. There's airbags on the inside.
Yeah,
Yes, it needs to be made out of fucking Nerf. The whole thing needs to be made out of Nerf. That way it wouldn't matter if you were drunk or high or whatever. You can be whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, or why aren't there bumpers on the side of each freeway?
Maybe the
car. There's like rails. Those rails will fuck you up if you're going 70 on them. But if it's a bumper, it just bounces you right
back.
Maybe
the cars only go 8 miles an hour. That'd be safe.
I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast.
That wouldn't be that dangerous.
But why the fuck can a car go faster than the speed limit?
That's a good point.
My car goes 120. The fastest highway I've ever been on is like 70 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Well, that makes zero fucking sense, America.
They assume that you're going to drive across the salt flats in
Which is
in
what,
Utah.
80? 85?
Yeah, or maybe...
I've heard Montana has freeways with
I drive to LA, I go 100 almost the whole way.
There's cops listening. Fuck yeah, we're going to get the Escalade now.
You're going to... you're going to somehow take your Subaru to the fucking Nürburgring.
Yeah, I heard there are, I don't know if it's Iowa or Montana, you know, somewhere kind of rural that there's no speed limit freeways.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
But
like, there's
not
a car in sight. Yeah, there's not that many.
What if they just made it so your car just starts trembling like crazy?
Yeah.
If you go like 80 or
90. That's what I mean. Or it gives you a shock or fucking just shuts down or
blah,
some
blah,
shit.
Blah, 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 blah. You're like, oh shit, I won't do that again.
Well, I'll tell you, the Mini will do that. You do 80 in the Mini, and you know you're
doing it. I had a 1979 Mercedes diesel, and that thing would just start shattering everywhere.
Box.
Yeah, just start going nuts around 80, 85. I'm like, fuck, I'm going to die right now.
That's awesome.
Like a whole vibration in your seat. Like a little back massage.
What about McDonald's all-day breakfast? You guys taking advantage of that yet?
Only when you brought it in on squat day.
I honestly have not had a McDonald's
Austin
breakfast.
Austin Baumgarten almost
time.
Had a heart attack about it. I mean, not because he's eating so much of it, but he was...
he almost had a double heart attack?
Yeah. He was so upset because they don't have the McGriddle.
That's
all
only
day
until
long.
10 or something?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, it's a scam. He came flying over. I was talking about McDonald's all day breakfast. He's like, it's a scam.
He always
Eyes
pops
are all
up.
Lit up.
He pops up out of nowhere when you're talking about food or something.
Yeah. He was fucking pissed.
It is kind of weird. Like, why make a limited edition or a limited menu? Why not go? What's so difficult about the McGriddle that you can't do it at 2 in the afternoon?
He said it has something to do with the eggs or something. I don't know.
He probably knew exactly.
I know. He knew the
Should we
scoop.
Ask the internet?
Do they have a McMuffin?
But a McGriddle is proof that anything can be done. Because some fat motherfucker infused maple syrup into a biscuit.
Yeah, that's genius.
To me, that's just like, whenever somebody says, oh, I don't know if you can do that or not.
It's like
they made a fucking, they infused maple syrup into a biscuit. They can do anything.
Yeah, I'd like a homemade or high-end version of that.
This is such an issue that I start typing, why is the McGriddle not all day?
Why is the McGriddle so good is number two. America's so fat.
Yeah, we got to read why it's so good. Like, what's the definition of why it's so good?
Oh. Yeah, McDonald's breakfast is pretty good. Their burgers aren't really up my alley, but...
The sausage burrito is great.
Yeah.
Have that thing?
Yeah, or just a sausage egg McMuffin.
And then the ham egg McMuffin, I think, only has 7 grams of fat. It's not too bad.
So healthy.
7 or 8 grams. That's not too bad.
Only 10...
Calorie-wise, it ain't too bad.
No, it's not bad at all. There's a lot of places like that. Like, that's kind of the idea of flexible dieting. Yeah, you can eat places and make better decisions than... getting 5 hash browns, which probably have like 60 grams of fat each.
Oh, hash browns are fucking good, though.
That bag
gets
so greasy from the hash browns.
How are they so hot and they don't cool down? It takes forever for them to cool down.
I know.
And same with the McGriddle.
It's because it's fake potato, probably.
It takes fucking hours for it to cool down.
Breakfast for lunch. Someone else did it before them. I think Taco Bell did breakfast all day.
Yeah.
And kind of forced this upon McDonald's.
Well, I think Jack in the Box does.
Maybe
too.
It was Jack
well,
in the Box.
Well, I heard McDonald's is hurting for business. So
no, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're shrinking.
Well, we're getting more health conscious in our country.
Well, there's
you know?
There's so many of them too. They're fucking everywhere.
Yeah, and how many documentaries fucking bash McDonald's? Like, well, there's like 4 health documentaries, and they all just
focus
on McDonald's.
Well, it used to be like a cool American thing to do was to take your family to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like I remember when I was a kid, it was like you had a warm fuzzy feeling about it rather than feeling terrible about it.
I was a big Friday night
treat. It was special.
Sometimes.
It was special for us.
Wednesday for probably middle school or something, it was like 29-cent burgers. My dad's like, we're going there every fucking Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like 29 cents? Mikey, you want 10? I was like, sure, I'll take 5 burgers.
Yeah.
Cost you $1.50.
Yep. I used to get 2 cheeseburgers, fries, and a chocolate shake every fucking time.
What are you, C.T. Fletcher?
And then it turned into 2 double quarter pounders, and then it turned into 2 Big Macs, and it just shit got out of hand as I became a teenager.
Well, there's places like, I don't know if these are national, I think so, but like Habit, Smash Burger, some other burger places like that make like a little bit more, I guess, healthy, a little bit greasy, less greasy. So I think shit like that's getting more popular.
In-N-Out's pretty good.
Yeah, In-N-Out's great. At least you can taste it's like meat, you know? That's like my only issue.
I'm always
with
so disappointed with with French fries, just because like you can't eat them when you get home. You have to eat them in the car.
Yeah, they get
pretty
cold.
Much right away.
Okay. Or
they get, they, but they turn weird. You can't refresh them. You can't microwave
we
them.
We
really.
Need a science guy because a hash brown will last hot, scorching hot for about an hour. French fries last hot for about 2 minutes.
I know. Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know.
And then they suck.
Yeah, they're
they fucking suck.
They get
once
really
they get cold
and soggy.
There's no coming back from that.
Everything changes. They really get cold and soggy.
God damn, they need more chemicals in there.
That's probably why. At least In-N-Out.
Yeah, In-N-Out puts a potato in the thing. You ever see that? Yeah. You smash it down.
That guy's job sucks.
You can have one giant-ass fucking arm.
They do it a lat pull down
one
over
giant
and over.
Lat.
Well, apparently the hash browns are not on the all-day menu because they cook them in the same vats as the French fries, so they can't be done at the same time.
Yeah, what if I wanted two hash browns and a side of fries? I can't do that?
No. Huh?
What's this little map doing?
It's the worst fucking news I heard in months.
This map is for...
How fat we are?
No, it's for...
Biscuits. They love biscuits in the South.
Whether you live in a biscuit or a McMuffin area.
We need to go to the South. I need a biscuit.
Oh, my God.
So this shows that Florida is not the South.
I got a Limp Bizkit.
The Nookie! Come on! Oh, even Alaska has a McMuffin.
Where did I go the other day? I took my fat ass to Jack in the Box the other day. Jack in the Box is pretty good.
Not
curly
bad
fries.
All.
Curly fries are pretty good.
Curly fries and waffle fries are... That's something that like McDonald's and Burger King never stepped up.
And their shakes have like shit in them, which is great. Like an Oreo shake.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Jack in the Box and Carl's Jr. I think have the best fast food, like typical fast food chain shakes.
Carl's Jr.
Shakes are pretty good.
Kind of from top to bottom.
I guess Dairy Queen, but that's a little different.
Carl's Jr. has great commercials, all the titties.
Yeah,
Jack in the Box has funny commercials.
Those of you who are east of the, Mississippi, I guess, it's Hardee's, not Carl's Jr., but same story, same place.
Yeah, Western Bacon Cheese. Yeah. One of the best burgers.
Yeah, those are really fucking good.
Yeah, waffle fries and an Oreo shake.
I don't know what makes them Western, but...
Yeah, just barbecue sauce. Yeah.
You hear country music when you eat them.
I remember the first one I had, I think it had a Toy Story commercial. It was Woody bouncing around on the burger.
It had a Woody, is what you're saying.
Yeah, Woody burger.
You just keep making this stuff fatter and fatter. It's awesome. Fatter and fatter as we go along.
I know, I'm so hungry. We shouldn't have done this.
I know, I'm starving too.
What do you usually get at McDonald's, Mike?
Nothing. I haven't been to McDonald's.
Come on. Jesus Christ.
I went to McDonald's probably once in the last year. Actually, I go with Nadim all the time. So when I'm staying with Bart and them...
they all did get a McFlurry. You were with me.
Yeah. So I was going to say me and Nadim get McFlurries at like 2 in the morning all the time because on their street, because of their neighborhood or whatever, you have to have a parking pass, you know, just to keep bums from parking on the street. And I always forget to do it till late at night. I don't know how to get to the fucking parking pass place. So me and Nadim go. It's only like 3 minutes
away. Fuck this. We're going to McDonald's.
Yeah, and then we always go get McFlurries on the way home. So I have McFlurries I get all the fucking time.
What's the stats on the McFlurry?
Oh,
you know?
Probably terrible. Because it's super creamy.
But isn't the ice cream like at McDonald's like less fat?
I think they're lying to you.
No.
You think it's soft serve, but I think it's super fatty, I think, for some reason. I bet like...
God damn, do I blame my fatness on McDonald's?
Yeah.
Holy shit, they're 893
That's a big
calories
one, right?
In a McFlurry.
Yeah, an M&M one.
It's a 16-inch.
Yeah.
16-inch. 16-ounce, not inch. You know what I'm saying.
16 inches.
16 inches of beef?
You figure something that's that big would have more calories in it.
Okay, so that's the Oreo one.
Mine's that big and it's calorie-free.
The regular
12-ouncer.
Yeah, I think that's the normal one. Some places don't have a big one. Yeah, that's still a lot.
And then
there must be a shitload of sugar in there, right?
Yeah.
I'm
sure it's like
small one.
50, 60 grams,
so
and probably 10 to 20 fat.
Oreos, 165.
Oreos, right? Pretty good. What did we get? Reese's with your brother? That was pretty good.
Reese's, that's the best one.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. But I still think Dairy Queen's better.
Although the Butterfinger one rules, too.
Butterfinger's pretty good.
They don't have that very often.
Fuck. The
Marcus, get us some McFlurries.
Carl's Jr. had they had a Captain Crunch shake for a little while.
Oh,
I went there every day.
That sounds good.
It's like limited edition. I'm like, I'm not missing out on this.
Do you think they do limited editions just to test us?
I think so.
Or do you think it's like
it works on me. I was there all the time.
I think Western Bacon Cheese started as a test or as a limited edition.
I was
going
to put an application to fucking work there during that time period.
Free McFlurry. I'll work for free. I just want McFlurry an hour.
Yeah. It's like McRib is only a certain time.
Yeah.
Of year, right?
I've never had that. Everyone says McRib's awesome.
It's so gross, though. It does taste pretty good.
Yeah. It just seems.
But it fucking looks disgusting.
Yeah. I've never had one.
Well, I mean, I don't know what they make them out of, but I don't think it has anything
no
to do
ribs.
With ribs.
Ribs are pretty good. Just in general. But
ribs is like a hell of a decision, though, because it gets all over everything.
You can't do it at a restaurant. It's a home food.
It's definitely not a first date food either.
Yeah.
No.
Not if you're trying to get laid.
Yeah, it gets all over you. Fucking A.
Barbecue sauce.
Stuck in your fingers.
Yeah, barbecue sauce in her pussy. Yeah. Yeah, you fucked that whole thing up.
I was just
going to
say all the wrong places, but pussy, okay.
Yeah, you fucked that whole thing up.
It could end up there.
Yeah.
You never know. Hey, now.
Or on his wiener, I guess.
Huh?
Whatever floats your boat.
You put it on your wiener, barbecue sauce?
Don't go to the bathroom and hold your dick after you have
some hot wings.
Hot wings.
Yeah, wings and sex don't mix. Yeah. I've gone over this before. Anyway, we were talking about some finishing moves earlier. Yeah,
someone asked what my finishing move would be. Mark said it's clearly the silencer, but
which I think would be some variation of like a neck breaker or something. Maybe kind of looking like a diamond cutter. Diamond cutter looks like RKO or whatever
it's called. Yeah, it's the RKO. Yeah, that would be pretty good, right?
Yeah. The silencers. It fucking makes you shut the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah. Or what's that Triple H's move? He gets your hands behind your back and shows your face into the ground,
basically?
Yeah,
he basically.
Does the pedigree.
Yeah,
the pedigree.
Yeah.
Why is that name a pedigree?
I don't know.
That's weird.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It makes sense with his like gimmick from the very beginning, I guess. I don't know. He was like a snob, and he came out.
He was like
Hunter Hearst Helmsley. And,
I
don't know.
Of high pedigree.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. I get it. I fucking get it. But then we're talking about finishers, and we first thought
Cena's
WWE.
Cena's finisher for a while was the five-knuckle shuffle.
Yeah, what's his? Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Hell of a finisher.
That's not very PG. That's the ultimate finisher.
Yeah,
that finishes us all.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's
definition
great.
Of finisher. But what is it now?
He does the, goddamn, what does he fucking do? Why did I forget the name of it?
I haven't seen him wrestle in a while.
Some
of the best finishers, though, is Mankind with fucking Puppet Man or whatever. What's Socko?
Yeah, Mankind has done a bunch of different ones. He used to do the mandible claw, which is just digging his fingers into your mouth, which has got to be disgusting.
Yeah. Then he did the same thing with the sock, right?
Right. Oh, the FU. But he might have changed the name of it.
Yeah,
I don't
apparently
know.
He changed the name of it. The maybe attitude adjustment.
Yeah.
Oh, attitude adjustment. I've heard that.
He did that to Big Show.
The FU, I know.
He did that to fucking Big Show.
I know.
That's hard. Even the guy's trying to work with you, it's fucking hard.
He squats 6'11", and then had a squat of 450-pound Big Show.
Yeah, 611 squat and some knee sleeves and a belt. What a savage. Unbelievable.
The other famous finishers are Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I know. We were talking about what came first, finishers in wrestling or finishers in video games, but it must be wrestling since wrestling's been around a lot longer than the video games.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't play that much Mortal Kombat, but there's famous finishers like you chop a dude's head off and fucking swing it across the screen and
shit. Yeah, there's all kinds of you have the fucking thing that goes through the guy's chest and you pull him towards you and give him a fucking uppercut and knock his head off and stuff.
Yeah, there's sick bastards coming up with that stuff. Yeah.
Speaking of such fighting, did you by any chance watch Into the Badlands? Oh my god, it's fucking great.
I've never seen it, it just started last night.
I was too busy watching Family Guy.
It was on right after Walking Dead last night. It's kind of like the people making it are pissed that the David Carradine series Kung Fu happened in the 70s because it was bullshit. He was also not Asian and didn't know Kung Fu. That was part of the problem. It was kind of a Western or whatever. But this is like post-apocalypse, okay?
Yeah, it's a TV show, right?
Yes,
not a movie.
All the guns are gone. We got no guns.
Yeah.
The countries are run by, parts of countries are run by these robber barons, basically.
Uh-huh.
And, they all have these academies where they teach these young men to fight.
Are they all at war with each other?
Yeah. Or they cooperate. It kind of depends, you know. It's all kind of wire foo, you know. A little bit of Crouching Tiger, not super outrageous, but shot for TV, it's awesome.
Pretty cool.
It's really good.
There was a TV show that was a post-apocalyptic or like middle apocalyptic where like all the lights went out.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot what it was called. I watched like the first four episodes and it was dope, and then it just got
TV
too
shows
hairy.
Like that and movies and stuff are great like that.
Yeah, I love it.
The end of the world is coming.
Yeah, even The Rocks, whatever. I haven't seen it yet. San Andreas or something. I'll probably watch that on DVD.
You know what I don't understand about those shows is why people get so fucking stupid. They do everything is driven by people being stupid
in the show.
Yeah. Like even Walking Dead, a lot of the things that end up happen because somebody was stupid or they had so much PTS that they couldn't act normally.
There's a commercial where the guy the guy says, hey, why don't we run to that getaway car? And it pans over, and the car's running, and it's like ready to go, and it's facing in the right direction. And the girl's like, no, why don't we go into that dark barn? And they go into the barn, and there's a guy with a fucking chainsaw in there.
That's a real – oh, the commercial. Yes.
Yeah, it's just a stupid commercial.
I think it's like a Geico commercial or something. Yeah. It's like, let's go hide behind the chainsaws.
Yes, Jim, let's get through some of these questions. Jim McD's best lifts?
650 squat multiply, 447 bench multiply.
You did like 335 or 350 or something raw, right? The bench?
Yeah, I did 345 raw. And either 611 or 617 pull.
Hell yeah.
Here's a good question. How many is there a ratio between how much you weigh and how many socks you need to stuff your singlet with?
Say that again.
So is there a ratio of how heavy you are and then how many socks you need to stuff?
I don't know how to figure out the math of that. I just know that the fatter that you are, the less dick you have outside of your body.
Yeah. Well, it's like a camouflage into your lower gut fat, right?
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Especially in a singlet. Camouflage. It can all become one. It's a fupa, right? Fat upper penis area. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that's a tough question. I would say that, you know, for every, like, for every pound you are over 300, maybe you need, like, one sock.
Every pound over 300?
Well, 10 pounds. Every 10 pounds you are. So if you're, like, 330, you might need three pairs of socks.
So if you're 299, you don't need to stuff at all?
Nah, probably not. You're probably okay.
But what if you're less...
But you can just jumble up, maybe wear two pairs of undies and probably get away with it.
Yeah, what if you're not very well endowed?
Yeah, I don't know.
299, I think you need to stuff. I guess body fat pays more of a factor than ratio, right? Because if you're 299 and jacked, your six-pack, your dick probably looks huge.
Yeah.
You can always go with kids' socks, too. Or women's socks.
Huh. Yeah, but then it's weird. The baby sock falls out of your singlet.
Yeah, then you're a pervert and a pedophile.
Yeah, maybe just one sock, maybe for every, like, 50 pounds you are over, like, 200. So one sock at 200.
Yeah.
You know, two socks at 250 and three socks at 300.
That makes more sense.
I mean, it sounds reasonable, right?
Yeah.
And you don't want to go with so many socks that it's like, you know, absurd.
Yeah.
Or maybe you do.
You're buying a new Hanes 12-pack every fucking week.
Could also go with the belt boner, which kind of just distracts from the actual crotch area.
That's why I think people do crazy hair and stuff, you know, just to keep their people's vision elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility.
How many times do you guys poop a day?
Oh my God! Some days it's five or six. Swear to God!
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah,
six.
I have days like that myself, but I'm probably usually about three times a day. It depends if like the less that I do, the more that I shit.
Is that because your mind's elsewhere, or
I don't know. I think if I'm doing stuff, then my body's like, hey, let's shut down the pooper for a little while. Let's get this stuff done. And then you can shit later. So I'll shit like two or three times in a busy day.
Ain't got shit to do.
Five or six times on a day where I'm doing a lot less.
I'm less impressive. I'm one to two. Yeah. And then obviously there's days where things go sour.
Things go
six to ten, but
literally
things go south.
Yeah.
Two or three is pretty normal, but
what's going on with your fanny pack, Silent Mike, and what's in it?
The fanny pack is the newest trend that I'm helping bring back. And I just carry my shit in there. All my shit. I typically just wear like basketball shorts, which are fine, but they're not very good for like carrying shit. So then
it's
now
hard
that
to...
yeah, anything. They all fall out. And then now that I have a camera.
Silent Mike is not a cargo short type of person.
Yeah, no.
The fanny pack kind of replaces the cargo shorts in a way.
Yeah.
The cargo shorts are great. You can carry a lot of stuff.
Right. Yeah. So I just put my camera in there mostly and sometimes my.
Yeah, I keep telling people that's your vlogging camera, right? Mm-hmm.
Jazzy Things, who's a very popular Instagrammer, asked us.
Jazzy Poo?
No, Jazzy Things.
Oh, Jazzy Things. Oh, different one.
Estimated percentage loss of effectiveness in a day lifting session, right? So she made this fucking complicated. So estimated percentage loss in effectiveness of your daily lifting session from failing to take a morning poop.
Oh, so like if you didn't take your morning dump.
How's your lifting session going to go? Yeah. A perfect lifting session is 100%. What percentage is lost?
That depends on the exercise, because I think for bench, I think it could help. But for squats or deadlifts, you're lifting up extra weight.
Well,
excess weight is still inside your body.
I think it goes deeper than that.
Up to 12 pounds probably.
Your chances of to shit yourself go through the roof on the squat and deadlift.
Yeah,
I agree with the bench. The bench I could lift on a full stomach all day, but I need a morning poop.
I think if you're Lane Norton, it's 100% effectiveness loss. Like, he can't lift without pooping.
Yeah, he poops every plate warm-up.
We saw that.
I just had an emergency poop at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I got a text about it.
Yeah.
I hate that.
And it was like, I have fucking special toilets that are for such situations, but the toilet lost. The toilet lost the battle.
Oh no!
This thing looked like the Titanic when it was fucking shipwrecked and upside down.
It was like at the point that it broke.
Yeah,
and the whole
it was fucking pointing out of the water. It was
Leonardo DiCaprio on the bow of it with Kate Winslet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people were jumping off it. It was crazy.
Everyone was running for their lives.
It was just unbelievable. I don't know why it hit me like that. I've actually never had that happen before.
Well, was that after our pizza extravaganza?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
God damn, that pizza blew me out. Mountain Mike's. Fuck you, Mountain Mike's.
You owe me a new toilet.
Jesus, that was bad. I was like, we don't even have a plunger around anymore because the toilet sucks everything up.
So what do you have to do?
Two toilet, it's called?
Triple flusher or what?
So I flushed once. It didn't go so well. And I waited a couple minutes. I flushed again, and it went worse.
Ooh.
And then I waited a longer period of time. I went to go look for a plunger.
So you let it just steep in there like fucking poutine.
Couldn't find one. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm going to flush. And it worked.
Wow.
My prayers were answered. Thank you, Jesus.
Do you think your shit just absorbed some water and steeping there?
I think the toilet was just, maybe just trying to catch some air. trying to swallow it all up.
Why does everyone ask a shit story, sir? Shit questions.
Poop stories?
Yeah. I'm offended.
So what's in the fanny pack, though?
Mostly just my camera.
Chapstick?
No chapstick.
Is there anything gay in there?
No.
Carmex.
Is there anything gay in there? I'm asking you a question.
It's mostly my camera. Extra batteries.
Of course you're going to say no, but is there anything gay in there?
There's a
vibrator?
A tripod that looks a little suspicious, but it's just a tripod. Batteries.
It only looks like anal beads.
Mm. Yeah. It looks like something weird's going on.
Anal beads?
Tripod, camera, batteries. I had Noon in there. I brought Noon for the team at the meet, so now it just stayed in there. About it.
A Nooner?
That was nice.
Yeah, a couple of Nooner tabs.
So we were talking earlier about the guy that came in yesterday from New York who he actually, this is crazy because his girlfriend had said something to offend him that she felt badly about having said. And so she bought him a ticket to this Klokoff seminar, not realizing that it was in San Diego. So they flew to SoCal and then they drove up here just to come to the gym.
San Diego and Sacramento are not that close
They're
to each
not
other.
Close to each
Probably
other.
Probably like a 12-hour drive.
Yeah, it can end up being like 10, I think.
It just depending on traffic can be 10. I mean, if you're driving in the middle of the night, you could probably do it in about 7.
Yeah.
Seven
but everyone's even with LA, you know, like, yeah, LA's close. It's 5.5 hours or something,
it's
6
not
hours,
that
but
close.
Yeah, everyone thinks like, "Oh yeah, super train wants you."
It's not that close.
LA is how far from San Diego? Like 2-3 hours?
I think 2.
Yeah.
Ish.
An hour and a half, 2 hours depending upon traffic again, but
San Diego's pretty nice. Remember we were walking around all downtown and
yeah,
shit was pretty nice.
It was beautiful.
We took a stroll on the beach together.
Mm-hmm.
But the remarkable thing is that he had a powdered toast man tattoo on his calf.
Powdered toast man from Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever watched.
You never
Stimpy.
Watched Ren and Stimpy?
I know who they are, but I don't think I ever watched.
Oh
them.
My god! Well, it took me a couple minutes to place it because I thought that's some toast something. Oh, powdered toast man. But
yeah,
he,
Ren and Stimpy was pretty great.
He said that he decided that he wanted it. He went into a tattoo parlor and said, "So I want to get a powdered toast man tattoo." And one of the tattoo artists was working on somebody else and stood up and said, "Did somebody say powdered toast man?" He's like
powdered toast man. He's like in his undies or something.
Yeah,
right?
He's actually a toast.
He's a superhero,
but he's actually a piece of toast.
He's a piece of toast.
It's like French toast.
He looks like SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, so SpongeBob copied him.
Perhaps powdered toast man was definitely before.
Definitely way before.
Oh, he's jacked. He's a jacked piece of toast.
Yeah, he's in his underpants.
Yeah.
Yes. So he's like actually posing in.
He doesn't
guy's
even
tattoo.
Look that powdered or anything though.
It's I don't even know why.
It's not the best
that.
Rendition.
He's not as jacked as you're thinking. This is just this photo has probably got some Instagram filters on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, but now he looks a little more powdered.
See all the sparkles? Yeah. Anyway, though, so that tattoo has all the sparkles and stuff. But the best part was that the guy did the tattoo for him, and then said, "You got to come with me. I got to show you show it to my friends." So he took him to three different bars and paid for his drinks all night.
Because he had a Powdered Toast Man tattoo.
Because, yeah, he said, "Look at this Powdered Toast Man tattoo I did."
Changing topics, Thurman Merman asks you specifically, Mark, who's the most handsome member at Super Training?
Thurman Merman.
Thurman Merman from Bad Santa?
No, our Thurman Merman.
Our Thurman Merman.
Oh.
Our Air Force Thurman Merman.
Oh.
The most
handsomest
person at Super Training?
I think he's trying to get a handout. He's trying to pitch you an underhand, but it's not going to happen.
I got
to
really think about this Thurman Merman. I don't know. Everybody's kind of ugly around here.
Agreed.
Ryan Spencer.
Ugly and fat.
Ryan Spencer's kind of handsome.
Ryan Spencer.
But he's very short.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to hurt Thurman Merman's feelings, you can say it's his little buddy.
Yeah, Boston Tea Party.
Boston Tea Party, yeah.
The fuck's that guy's name?
Nick,
right?
Nick Pogulski.
He's an East Coaster through and through.
Yeah. He's got that Southie accent. He's like he walked here from, what the fuck is the name of that movie? Matt Damon, Ben Affleck.
Lady listener number 8 has a question. She asks, she would like to know how many weeks before a meet should she start training in wraps if she's competing in wraps? Or she should be always
Goodwill Hunting, Jim.
Goodwill Hunting.
Took me a minute.
Yeah, I don't know why I was not coming up with it.
Throw on some knee wraps, you know. What I would do first is to implement them is I would throw them on at the end of a workout after you already did all your main sets and main work for the day. Chop the weight down to about 70% and, you know, do a single there with your knee wraps on. And then maybe work up to 80, 85% or so just to kind of get familiar with them. Also, when you wrap your knees, I would suggest not taking them off right away. Right after you do your squat, you know, people like to take their knee wraps off right away, but I would suggest just trying to feel them out and try to live in them a little bit because, sometimes somebody before you could fall or something weird could happen with the weights. Sometimes they're adjusting the weights as you get to the platform. Sometimes you have to wait. So I would just try to be prepared for all that. Knee wraps are just crazy uncomfortable. I'd also suggest that you just start out by wrapping yourself and not let anybody else wrap you. That way you can get a preferred wrap that you like, that feels right to you, and you can kind of go from there. But ease your way into it and give yourself plenty of time. So if you're, you know, hopefully you have some time between, you know, now and your contest and you can do that. But I would try to take as much time as you can. I would try to wear them every week until you felt like you were comfortable in them.
And what you're looking for is the amount of tension that's going to be comfortable to you.
Right. And I don't think you're going to, like, all of a sudden just squat, you know, 100 pounds more from wearing knee wraps. You'll squat more weight in the knee wraps the more you get used to them rather than just trying to build up, quote-unquote, raw strength without them. That's more of an advanced move that somebody would do once somebody's already used to the knee wraps. Then they would do a long training cycle without knee wraps, sometimes without a belt. Then they'll add the belt. Then they'll add knee wraps about 3 weeks out from a contest.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is if you're proficient at them and used to the knee wraps, maybe just add them 4 weeks out. If you're not used to them at all, start using them now.
Yeah.
Every squat session.
Because totally,
they take quite a bit of a learning curve.
It's totally different from back in the multiply days when it really wasn't possible to wrap your own knees.
Yeah.
Now you're really better off if you can actually do that yourself.
I think also, too, anything you're going to implement that's new, you can always just do it at the end of a training session. Get your normal work in. Don't be frustrated or distracted by something new and something different. Do your normal shit.
Yeah, don't.
And then just do practice work when you're done, whether it's you're working on your depth, or because maybe you're working on your depth, but you just do your normal workout your normal way.
Yeah.
And maybe most of your squats for that day are kind of high. Then you work on your depth with, you know, 90 pounds less than whatever it was that you used in the beginning, and make sure all the reps are clean, make sure all the reps are below parallel.
Basically separating what you do in the wraps from what your main goal of the day was.
Yeah, it can be frustrating sometimes. You get in them and they throw you all over the place. Maybe,
right.
your squats get kind of sloppy that way.
Most awkward urinal experience?
I think I've mentioned it before. It's one I avoided, actually, at the Olympia when Michael Hearn was at the urinal and the only one that was open was next to him, so I went in the stall because I just didn't want to know.
You felt like you've lost too many battles against Michael Hearn already.
Exactly.
And one more battle would just be...
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much.
Somebody asked, besides the women that have been on the podcast, how many lady listeners do We think we have now.
I think 12?
Yeah.
Eight just checked in.
I believe it's actually a fair amount more than that. It's probably, I mean, just especially from the listening side. I mean, I know what the numbers are for video, but just plain listeners, I don't know, but I think it's higher. I think it's probably upwards of 10 to 15%. Just because women are more likely to consume podcasts on audio than...
stare at our fat faces all day?
Yep.
Trent or Decca? Trent or Decca?
Trent. Yes, I'll take two, please.
What are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
They do different things.
They're both great.
But they do different things.
How many farts occur per workout?
Oh, I don't know. You can't really... It depends on the meals preceding.
Yeah. If you don't... Going back to jazzy things, if you don't take a pre...
There's going to be more farts.
Your farts are going to be a PR in farts for that day, probably upwards of 100.
More and more lethal.
Yeah, they'll be bad. They'll be juicy. They'll be mid-squat. They'll be resting.
We do fuck around a lot about dropping ass and taking shits and everything, but we don't...
Dropping ass and taking names?
I don't know how many people do, some fucking crazy lethal fart in the gym, but it's really rare that I... walk into one of those bombs in the actual gym itself.
Well, now the gym's pretty big.
But it's just terrible. Hopefully, if you have one of those catastrophic ones, you go to the bathroom or you walk outside for a second and shake your leg out a little bit. Hopefully, you're not wearing those sweatpants that are tight at the bottom. They fucking vacuum seal your farts in. But
yeah, the gym's way bigger now. It'll probably be hard. And we have a giant ass fan, literally. And it's probably harder to smell a fart. At the old place, I remember walking to grab my belt and then going to the mono and just almost passing out halfway there.
Well, that gym just smelled foul all the time because the septic system was all
smelled like shit.
At least that's what I blamed it on.
Yeah, that was really bad. But it wasn't connected to the city sewer. Yeah, and so it had its own septic tanks, and it was really bad. When we first moved in there, there was a shit storm, literally a shit storm.
Yeah, the manhole cover got pushed up by all the shit at one point during a contest.
During a meet, yeah.
There's a jacked up septic tank, and there's also a bulldog running around there. Two things we could easily blame. Yeah. Everyone blames their poor dog.
But I remember, though, trying to step outside to fart there, and every time I walked out to fart, suddenly I couldn't.
Why does that happen?
The bubble's about to burst, and you run outside, and then it all just reabsorbs into your gut.
When will Silent Mike do a meet? December 5th.
Never. Yeah, December 5th.
At Midtown.
Midtown Strength, USAPL. I think I'm lifting in the afternoon session with my boy Filipino Thunder and Mr. Austin Baumgartner.
Filipino Thunder!
Well, I didn't know Austin was doing that meet.
I think he is.
Some of the girls are doing it, right?
A bunch of the ladies are doing it.
And then Spence is lifting up in Reno.
With him. Any hints on future guests? Obviously, big names like Dwayne Johnson would be awesome. Oh, well, we agree.
Yeah.
Oh, Dwayne.
Yeah.
What's up, Dwayne?
I think it's solidified, but we should be having Furious P come hang out soon.
Yeah, that one's locked in.
Furious
one? Uriah Faber will be on here at some point.
Mr. Fabers.
We got Juju, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah,
we got some normal ass regular
Ninja Juju at some point. Yeah. Within the next months, this is going down the future, we'll have Brian Shaw.
Brian Shaw, Dana Lynn Bailey.
Miss Dana Lynn Bailey.
Bunch of other fucking people.
Hopefully Stone Cold within the next couple months.
Stone Cold.
That's
Stone
on the list. Cold.
And we may swing down to SoCal and do some more. We did our first on the road last week, which actually will drop this week with Jason Kalipa.
What was the consistency of your last poop?
It was bad.
Mine was normal, I guess.
Yeah, I'd just say bad. Yeah, it was just gross. Somebody said, how do you program to bench three times a week and manage the other lifts? I would say just don't.
Yeah, don't.
I know there's some different programs out there, and people have different reasons why they do different shit. Coaches will talk about accumulation and intensification and blah, 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 blah.
Californication.
All this stupid shit. And really, I don't know a lot of lifters that bench three times a week that are benching huge weights. And I know a bunch of people are going to go, what about so-and-so? But
fuck so-and-so.
Two times a week is plenty. You shouldn't need a third day to bench. And as for people squatting every day and some of the other shit that's going on too, I would just say if you lift the same amount of weight and you squat every single day, you lift, you squat the same amount in the meet versus only squatting once a week or even once a month. Just what's more optimal? What's more efficient? What gives you more time
to do
more stuff? To more of anything. More hanging out, more fucking
pooping,
selfies, more shitting, more whatever. I would say that option number two would be better. You know, you want to use the least amount to get the greatest amount of results.
Thoughts on BCAAs?
BCAAs? I'm not a fan. I don't think they do anything. I don't think any supplements really do a whole lot. I just think they're pretty lame in general. I'll drink them here and there because they have flavor. And it's different than just drinking some water. But other than that, I don't think any supplement. I think creatine, I think all this shit's been overhyped for a long time.
Everyone says I look jacked. I'd like to thank Mark for photoshopping this picture and Moneymaker for photoshopping it.
Yeah, I guess
it.
Now would be a good time to...
announcement time?
If everybody's listening out there.
Trenor Deca?
we have... this is pretty serious. Silent Mike has been... I don't know how to say this other than just come out and say it, but Silent Mike has been anivaring. I don't know how to say it any other way. I feel like I'm going to cry because...
It's been...
You know,
the
natty world has lost yet another another guy.
I'm going to post my drug test everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to make copies of it. I'm going to put it in these back fucking squares.
Well,
everyone.
What if they don't drug test you, though?
I'm going to be the most handsomest guy there. Someone's going to drug test me.
They're going to be like, you had a piss poor performance today.
They're going to see how little my balls are and just assume that I'm on something.
I don't understand what the fuck they're testing for, honestly, because...
Got to be cocaine.
I know that in
Cocaine Cowboy... You ever see that movie?
No, I heard it's good, though.
Fucking awesome.
We talked about this before, right? About jobs saying, like, people are like, oh, like, my job tests for this. Like, fuck you. Your job doesn't test for steroids. That job tests for cocaine and marijuana.
Right.
And then probably opposite. But it's just a pee test.
Well, the Andy Stump guy, the retired Navy SEAL, is talking about the fact that the military doesn't test for steroids because they don't want to. I mean, unless they have a very specific reason to, they don't do it. But like
a guy maybe has a psych problem and he's already fucking all fucked up.
Yeah, and he's got acne all over.
Yeah,
every
maybe you test that
of
kid.
His body or whatever. Yeah, but for the sporting organizations, the tests have to be so specific. But so what is the USAPL using? I know they're using like a ratio, but what is that?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. Kalipa told us what he did. He gave blood and urine for CrossFit. Three times in the last year.
Yeah.
Or maybe something like that. But USAPL, I don't know. I think it's just urine.
I don't think Jason Kalipa's on anything.
Yeah.
He doesn't. I mean, he's a strong guy and he's in good shape and everything, but he's not giant. He's not disproportionate anywhere. He's not, you know.
Yeah. Mark said it when we went down there. He's not that different from me. Maybe his genetics are a little better, and obviously we just work out different.
Yeah.
You know, and then a lot of times the pictures that you see of him, most of the time he's pretty lean.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, when he's doing something, sometimes his arms will look fucking crazy.
That's everybody on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
True.
If you're all alone.
If you're lean, if you're out in the sun, because, like, a hard overhead light will make you look gigantic.
Yeah, he's, like, doing, like, a rope climb or something. He looks yoked as fuck.
Yeah. Well, and they do ridiculously high rep things. So they're literally working out with the biggest pump possible.
Right.
They just did a set of 100.
Right. And all of these guys, have we talked to a CrossFitter that didn't start out doing some kind of bodybuilding thing?
A lot of them.
Well, whether or not they competed in was really what their focus was. They were looking, trying to look jacked.
Yeah. Any collaboration with Corey Gregory?
I don't know.
Yeah, if he shows up, where is he?
He's in
Colorado.
Ohio. Yeah, he lives in Ohio.
But Muscle Farms.
Yeah, I'd love to do something with Corey. Corey's awesome. That's my homie.
Yeah, so I like Corey a lot.
Somebody says is benching with long arms an incredible disadvantage.
It's absolutely incredible. I don't know why people. I think we ranted about this a time or two too, but everyone's like, "Well, how do you squat if you're tall?" And like, "Oh, that guy's really tall. He's gonna have to pull the deadlift really far."
Well,
like, some of the best deadlifters ever are taller.
Are tall?
Shit.
Yeah.
Let's say like your
leverage.
Let's just for argument's sake say that your bench stroke. Hey now. Your bench stroke is like 20 inches, right? Let's just say it measured out to be that long. Like you do have long arms, but
that's a big stroke.
But what's the problem with that? The main problem with that isn't the fact that your arms are long. The main problem is that you're puny You don't have enough muscle mass.
You got no boobs.
To give you any sort of real chance at bench pressing any sort of weight.
I think that maybe
so you're going to have to add some thickness.
Yeah.
If you're taller, you just, I mean, the guy from Westside that just pulled 915, that guy also benches like 650 or 660. He's 6'6 or 6'7. Remember we saw?
Yeah. Bird Dog benches over 6. He's a little taller than you,
taller
I think.
Than me,
he's like
6'6",
6'1". Now, obviously, if you're 7 feet tall, you may have a real issue benching, and you'll have too much of an issue gaining size to fill out a 7-foot wingspan bench.
If some you're 6'6 and look like you play in the NBA, you're going to have a difficulty.
But if you're 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", even Fat Dan, you know, Fat Dan benched 4'11". He's young. He has no arms.
Kirill Serkev, I think that's how you
say his
name.
I think he's like 6'6".
Yeah, he's huge. Yeah. You know, but he also weighs like 330 or 350
but
to try to make up for that.
Yeah, arguably the best bencher around besides Spoto.
Yeah, he's amazing. I think the long – and Spoto's not short.
Yeah, he's your height.
Spoto's not short.
Stan?
Scott Mendelson's not short necessarily.
Yeah, Ryan Kennelly even taller.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these guys are not – they're not short by any means, but they make themselves look short. Or like in Ryan Kennelly's case, he actually arches up to the bar pretty well, and so does Eric. And Mendelson, I guess, does too. Yeah, they all belly up to the bar, and then the range of motion looks tiny.
Yeah, although Spoto doesn't have a huge arch.
No. No, he just got his legs into it a little bit, and he's able to kind of just get his stomach up in the air. Yeah. Keep
favorite
his chest
movie
up.
And TV show of all time?
Oh,
it's so hard to pick one. Just pick one.
Of all time?
If you had to pick one.
Movie.
My favorite movie of all time is Apocalypse Now. The not Redux version.
I don't even know if I've
Apocalypse
seen it.
Hey Now.
The original. TV show? I don't know. Like the first three seasons of The Wire are fucking amazing. MASH. Huge MASH fan. Went on 4 times longer than the Korean Wars.
I like Rocky, I would say, for movies. And then Austin for TV. Not necessarily my favorite show, but any fucking Warner Brothers cartoon is like my favorite shit. I love that stuff as a kid.
Well, yeah, me too.
And if I still catch it, I'll fucking watch it. You know, Bugs Bunny, any of that shit.
Looney Tunes and Mary
Bellies. God damn, Looney Tunes is so good. Let's get out of here and watch some Looney Tunes and eat a sandwich, huh?
Oh, sandwich sounds good. I have to go with Star Wars and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
The Fresh Prince, pretty damn good.
So good.
Kind of entertaining and gives you like a life lesson at the same time.
I learned my morals from the Catholic Church and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's what molded me.
And Uncle Phil.
Uncle Phil and the Catholic Church molded Silent Mike.
Oh, my God. I was at this conference last week, working at this conference last week, and the keynote speaker was talking about how, you know, scams are pulled on people by, you know, government agencies and whatever. I don't remember the total context of it, but he used the phrase Uncle Touchy's Naked Puzzle Basement. It's like, come on in, kids. Uncle
Sounds
Touchy's
great. But you
naked
knew what
puzzle.
He meant, right?
Yeah, I knew exactly what he meant, but damn, the crowd was not prepared for that. He said a lot of other stuff, too. He said everything but fuck, which was pretty amazing for a big, you know, multi-corporation gathering.
Fancy meeting.
Yeah.
Somebody said finding a balance between leaving some reps in the tank and pushing as hard as possible in the gym. You know, like what do we feel is like more optimal, I guess.
Yeah.
I'd say you need a little bit of both, and if you're a newer lifter, you definitely have to have both, because sometimes some of the exercises and some of the rep schemes and some of the different things you're going to try to do might be kind of foreign to you. They might be kind of new. So you might blow up a weight with, let's say, 225 on a pause squat, and then for a set of like 3 or something. And the next one, you might say, oh, my God, that was so easy. I'm going to go right to 275. And that 50-pound jump was too much to really overcome, and you had to do some crazy-ass version of a good morning slash squat and barely got one rep.
Right.
So, you know, with a newer lifter, you're going to need both of those for sure. And a more advanced lifter, I think a more advanced lifter can really ride between the 80 and 95% range for a very long time. If you don't have a competition coming up, it might even be more in the 75 to 90% range. You might be able to not get too close to a max really ever for some of the more advanced guys. But newer guys, they're going to have to really kind of fine-tune where they're at and stuff like that.
I think choosing exercises too, right? And if you go till failure, actual failure on squat, you're squatting twice a week, so that's 8 sessions a month. You're going to either get injured or plateau very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could probably do it on a leg press. You could probably do it on lunges. You could probably do it on step-ups once a week for a very long time.
Another thing I remember from just from when I was getting into powerlifting is that you might hit a crazy PR, and then you think, oh, that's my PR. I should base everything off that. And then, like, the next week, you suck ass.
Right.
And it isn't necessarily even because you had a big PR. I mean, sometimes big PRs are luck more than anything else, you know, luck and timing and whatever. And you're not really ready for whatever you just did. You just did it, and you don't, you know, you can't count on it next time. You have to keep building your base and not trying to base everything off of, you know, that last big weight, and you think, well, this week I can do this because last week I did that. And I was like, it doesn't always work that way.
Really hard to show people, like, how to get stronger. You know, it's the answer is, like, so wide. You can't video it because it doesn't show up correctly on video the way that it actually looks when somebody's doing a weight that it would, that the eye feel would help make them stronger. Obviously, there's arguments for doing sets of 15 and sets of 20 and things like that that could also make you stronger. Doing various, you know, forms of other movements can make you stronger, but I can literally see it usually when somebody's getting stronger. Silent Mike did a bunch of sets of 2 on Saturday with 495 in the squat. As he was getting through it, I think he did 6 sets or so.
Yeah, 5.
Yeah, 5 sets of doubles, and they weren't all easy, you know. The doubles, they were all moving well. But that's a workout that you can put a check mark next to as him getting stronger off of. Obviously, the other workouts have kind of led him down this path to that workout specifically. So the workout is tailored towards getting him to a certain place at a certain time because he's competing soon. But it's really hard for the newer lifters to identify the type of struggle that they need to be under. So if you're somebody who's going off of percentage-based stuff, you're always better off using a lighter percentage than what's prescribed via a book or an e-book or via a coach. Be a little bit cautious and then just make small jumps from there, because a lot of times a more advanced lifter is not going to be, or a beginner lifter is not going to be able to make larger jumps like a more advanced lifter might be able to. So just add a little bit of weight and see how that feels. It doesn't hurt to get in more work. Remember, it's just training. So if you're doing, you know, 5 sets of 3 or 5 sets of 2 on a given lift, just add 10 pounds if it feels like it's a little bit too light, if it feels like the effort that you're looking for isn't there. I would say a lot of your training, again, percentage-wise, would fall in that, you know, 70 to 80% range. Most of your training would fall in that range. And if percentages are too much for you to care too much about, then you can just kind of go by how you feel. And there should be some deviation in of form at some point. There should be a little deviation of form. If there's no deviation of form, the weight is not challenging enough, and I don't think you'll get stronger that way.
I think there's just videos and pictures and magazines, everyone just like struggling their faces off, you know, doing a set of 5. Or typically, that's kind of old school bodybuilding. You know, that's a little bit different, training to failure all the time for strength. Because as soon as you're done with your workout, you got to worry about your next workout and recovering for it. So like I said, if you're maxing out sets and reps to failure every single squat session, you're just going to fall apart quick. But like Mark said, you got to find what that line is for you, and probably error on the side of being too fast.
Right.
Because you could be really fast and train at 70% for weeks and weeks and weeks and still get stronger.
Right.
You're still building a base that allows that, you know, tower, right, or triangle, the height of it matters by the base or some stupid math thing. So you're building that base at 70%. You could build that base forever, and your one rep max may not go up, but the potential for a higher one rep max will go up.
I think CrossFit is actually ends up being a good example of some of that, because those guys are doing other shit all the time. They might be doing double unders in between their deadlifts, and then the percentage is even lower, but the effort is still there.
Yeah.
The effort that they're going through is still fairly intense. So there should always be a tiny bit of struggle in there. Like if you're doing 10 reps, as Mike did on the weekend, out of those 10 reps, there should be about 2 or 3 total reps that aren't perfect.
Why do I squat more than I bench? Is there something wrong with me?
Oh, my God. You're off the team. Squatting more than you bench. No, squatting more than you bench is the way it should be, but I'm a little fucked up.
That's normal.
Unless you're wearing a bench shirt, and the bench shirt numbers went crazy.
Yeah, like in Raw, it's pretty common for somebody to be able to pull 125 to 150% of their squat.
Yeah, people ask often, you know, like how if someone out squats their deadlift, even, and how crazy that is and how wrong that is.
Yeah.
But it's just not the case. Everyone's so different.
People don't understand statistics.
When being a beginner, you know? Being a beginner helps
right.
your deadlift a lot. You
right.
know, I was like barely squatting 4 and I pulled 525.
Yeah, deadlifting from a form perspective is, you know, you can get 85% of the way there pretty quickly in terms
yeah.
of form, you know.
There's a question here about should there only be one powerlifting federation, and what do you think the pros and cons of that would be?
I saw that the IPF is like submitting application
yeah.
to the IOC again or something.
Yeah. Making their way to the Olympics. What happened with the Russians? The Russians just got booted from all international.
Did they?
They're about to, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think the Olympics. I think World Cup,
they have
like everything, huh?
They have to show like an intense amount of remediation of
yeah.
their problem because it's like state-sponsored, and which, I mean, who didn't know this?
Right.
But apparently it's now been well-documented.
You get too many people busted, then, you know, then
yeah.
they're going to...
Well, and yeah. people talk. I mean,
yeah.
how did the U.S. find out about testosterone in the first place?
Right.
Was a Russian coach talking too much after having too much to drink?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the story goes.
Right.
A Russian? Get
yeah,
it?
Yeah, with, you know, one powerlifting federation, that could do some good. It's not realistic, and it will never happen. There may be one recognized powerlifting association or federation, and that would be kind of cool to move towards that. But unfortunately, there's many issues with trying to figure out some of this stuff. Issue number one would be there has to be a governing body of all powerlifting. There has to be rules and regulations to even get an all-time world record. Since there's all-time world records from back when Ed Cohn competed in the USPF to guys, you know, hitting all-time world records in the USAPL and guys hitting all-time world records in the SPF. You got things like monolifts. You got knee wraps versus knee sleeves. It just gets to
you
be really complicated.
2-hour versus 24-hour weigh-ins,
yeah.
which is huge.
Right.
In terms of weight class.
Steroids.
Yeah, yeah. Drug tested and
yeah.
so on. It gets to be... I kind of like that there's multiple federations. There's people can kind of pick and choose where they feel they fit in, and they can just kind of go there and lift there. But the sport will... Even if the sport was on TV... I don't think that would increase much of anything. If you look at Strongman's on TV. Strongman still has no love. It has less people. There's less people in Strongman
than weightlifting and powerlifting.
Yeah,
right.
There's just not that many people doing Strongman. Strongman is so the guys that are on TV are so strong that it's not enticing for people to even try it or pick it up.
And they're so different, right? They're 6'6",
yeah,
400.
They're
that's
huge.
A very rare breed. Yeah.
And that's actually a fear of CrossFit, with the CrossFit games being so intense now. There's some fear in the CrossFit community that might wipe out some CrossFit gyms, because some of the newer people that are getting into CrossFit might think the end-all be-all is to get to the games. And it's like, hey, look, you know what? The reality is you'll probably never get there. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, I started hearing that a lot. I think that Jason may have said it when we talked to him last week, but I've heard it a number of times lately. People say the CrossFit games are a different thing, and they're really sort of a bastardization of what CrossFit was intended to be.
Well, they're a weird, they're supposed to be a weird test of their training mythology.
Yeah. Except that it doesn't, it's not really in line with
yeah,
all the training
always.
Methodology. You know, it's...
And well, some of it has to be thought out, because some of it's supposed to occur in an arena, so it's like it's sometimes it gets...
Yeah, it's set up for TV, like
World
Strongest
Man. They
try
to set it up for television.
It's somewhere between an exhibition and an actual, you know, contest,
right.
whereas, you know, you don't see people in CrossFit gyms doing all that weird shit.
Yeah.
Right.
I think powerlifters do a decent job of starting powerlifting to get strong and make themselves better rather than always gunning for world records.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, even as a kid, right? Well, I mean, you liked football and you played
right.
it, but why'd you play football? You want to go to the fucking NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
there's
just no doubt about it.
Yeah. You have a dream to do something bigger and do something
greater.
Yeah, but
in powerlifting, maybe, you know, people realize like, hey, this is just a way to get better, look better, feel better.
Right.
I just think that way too much emphasis is put on the all-time record because of the things that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
I think that the conditions are always different, even though Jesse Burdick and I disagree on this point. I think that just the weigh-in issue
mm-hmm.
itself is enough to throw it out of kilter.
Well, and a 2-hour weigh-in is ridiculous, and a 24-hour weigh-in is ridiculous. I think that
yeah. Like, well, can you have five so you can get one meal in after weigh-in?
Everyone should be able to agree on something reasonable. How about you weigh in just the night before? You know, like 12 hours. And I realize some people are going to be able to still drop 10 pounds or whatever, or even just several hours beforehand, yeah. As Mike is mentioning, sounds reasonable to me. But to, like, weigh in and be like, oh, shit, I got to lift. And
yeah.
Like,
you don't even get a meal in.
Yeah, you might not have a chance to eat because then you got all that food in your stomach. Yeah.
I do think the lines are pretty clear. It's equipment causing issues, right? Monolift. And I don't mean geared powerlifting and raw. I mean, like, is it wraps? Is it sleeves? Is it monolift? Is it deadlift bar? And then it's drugs. So it's not that USAW weightlifting and then the worldwide weightlifting don't have people that are on performance-enhancing drugs. Right. They do.
But they don't have the level of variation.
They don't. Really. I'm just talking drugs because they don't have any equipment variation.
Right,
so they already have that blacked out. They definitely have drug involvement, but maybe it's the old school powerlifter state of mind that has more performance enhancing drugs in it, right? You're fucking have ripped jeans, you're a fucking badass, you have tattoos everywhere, you're fucking bashing your head through a wall. That culture doesn't live in the USAW. So maybe performance enhancing drugs are slightly less. So then they can have one reigning governing body. Where powerlifting, you know, I think if everything lined up, all the stars aligned, they would have two. Maybe one is, you know, some kind of monolift knee wrap, undrug tested, and then maybe one's walked out, maybe knee sleeve, knee wrapped, and drug tested.
I'm not the biggest fan of federations that are owned by one person. I think that, I mean, really, they should be associations where lifters have input and, it's not.
Yeah, maybe
one,
they have a commissioner.
Yeah, but. Something. I mean, if I was going to make one change, I wouldn't necessarily consolidate down to one, but I would have more association-driven federations as opposed to...
That's just strength sports in a nutshell, right? They're very different. They're not set up maybe from the beginning as smart as... You know, the NBA and NFL are well-oiled machines. Obviously, they make mistakes with some referee calls and also judgment calls by the commissioners and stuff, but they're well-oiled machines from top to bottom, kind of like, you know, lack of a better comparison, the U.S. government, right? There's fucking checks, there's balances, no one's in one power, and things are set up so they should work smoothly.
Right. I'm not saying that it's not possible for a single owner federation to work well. I'm just saying that I don't think it's the preferred model.
Right. And again, if powerlifting is to go anywhere and to, like, you know, explode via the internet or via television, I don't even think it would be any of the current federations that exist.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's next. It's already exploding on the internet.
Yeah,
you know, and it's grown, but it's not even on the radar of sports.
I think this might be as big as it's ever going to be, though, to tell you the truth.
There's going to have to be another big jump somewhere.
Yeah, tail off at some point. I mean, you know, back in my business school days, they would say, like, if you want to figure out if you have a, like, some kind of a business, some kind of an establishment, some, you know, brick and mortar location. If you want to find out what your maximum customer number is, customer base number, to have one day where everything's free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you have a skating rink or something like that, just let people in. How many people would you get if you could get everybody? If money was no barrier, and if based on that, if you can't run a business. If a percentage of those people were paying, then you don't have a business.
Right.
And powerlifting could be at that point where, okay, well, this is as good as it's going to be. Is this ever going to be enough? And the answer is probably.
Well, we've run some meets, at our old gym with some awesome lifters, some of the best lifters in the world, Dan Green, Stan Efferding, Brandon Lilly. And it was always free to go there, and no one ever cared. You know, no one ever gave a flying fuck about it.
You
had
to go wash.
Exactly. However, the IPF, like IPF Worlds, because they're in different countries usually.
Yeah,
they usually have a pretty good crowd.
Is the PowerCast going to the 2016 Worlds?
I hope not.
It's in Texas.
I'd rather sponsor it from afar.
From a fart.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I do know that some CrossFitters are going to be doing some of the USAW stuff, and our boys Caffeine and Kilos will be down there and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think so. And then there's also the American Open that they're all at. I don't even know what the American Open is. I guess Nationals for weightlifting.
I think they do both, right?
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, they do. They have a Nationals and an American Open, I think.
Right,
yeah.
I don't know.
A little bit of both, I guess.
Go both ways.
I had a question here. Well, that one's gay.
I got a squat question from a lady.
Somebody asked, will you ever go back to conjugate training? I kind of still do a lot of the conjugate stuff, especially as far as the assistance work goes. I don't ever keep assistance work the same. I change it up quite a bit, and that's just kind of more for me just having fun with it. Actually, because I'm backing off on the squats a little bit and the deadlifts, I probably will be using more conjugate stuff for my lower body coming up, some box squats and some rack pulls and shit like that. What's the question you got, Mike?
Kind of,
Mike.
A yogi, Brittany, asks, squat question. Anything over 60%, she leans way too forward, basically folding over in the squat. Front squat, she's fine, and she routinely does pause and box squats. What other things can she do to stop leaning forward? And good morning, the weight up.
You have to start to figure out how to move your hips properly. Hey, now.
Yeah.
In the squat, you're going to have to figure out how to move your hips the right way. So you might want to play with bar position on your back. Typically, if the bar is a little bit higher, I've noticed for most of the ladies, it helps push them down in position a little bit better. A lot of times that low bar position is what makes you kind of have that C curve to your spine where you're overarched, overextended. And then the hips aren't moving very well. Everything else is moving. Your knees are moving. You're going downward towards the ground. But your hips aren't moving any further. I would suggest that you do a lot of, you can look it up. It's called a goblet squat. You could basically just with a kettlebell, trying to, you know, push a kettlebell out in front of you as you're squatting downward. I've showed this exercise to many people. You don't even have to use a kettlebell. You can use a plate. But you should have a better sense of where your hips need to be when you're doing your squat. And a lot of times women will have kind of long quads, long femurs, and that makes it really difficult for them. So they just continue to lean forward throughout the entire range of motion. But really figure out a way to get more in tune with where your hips are when you're squatting. You may even want to do some touch-and-go stuff off of a box, just to be able to sit back a little bit more. A lot of times the knees just keep traveling forward and forward and forward and forward, and the hips aren't really moving the way that they need to.
I think there needs to be a definition too of folding in the hole or leaning forward.
Yeah.
Or if you're folding up, things are probably bad, but leaning forward isn't necessarily bad, and sometimes that's just how people have to squat.
Yeah, everyone has a different body type. I mean, if you don't have a waist, if you don't have a gut, you know, odds are you probably have to lean forward.
Yeah, and then properly bracing yourself will stop the folding. All the cues Mark said will stop the folding, but the leaning forward may just kind of always happen if you're really long.
If you're getting dizzy or leaning forward too far.
Throwing
up. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had one of our ladies in the gym. We've had several women have the same issue, and the hip circle actually helped quite a bit. But really just focusing on your stance and where you have the bar. Look at those two things, play around with those two things, and try to figure out which one has the best results for you. You might have to go a little wider with your stance, might have to go a little closer. You might have to make sure your feet aren't pointed out too much, or you might point your feet out more. There's a lot of variables in there, but first place I'd look is to see where your bar placement is.
You know, we haven't never had a ton of women in the gym. We probably have more now than we ever had. And
hey, now.
Yesterday there was that they did that simultaneous giggle screech.
I'm glad I wasn't here.
Yeah, I'm glad that you were not here, too, because it was
scary.
Yeah, it's scary. It's like, what the fuck is that? And how do we stop it?
Mm-hmm. What else we got from these fuckers?
That's it. I ran out of questions.
There's some more that we didn't touch, but I don't know if they're like third rail questions.
People ask about Candido all the time.
I know. Candido. I think he's moving west. I don't know where. Everyone's moving west. Leanna Carr just moved to Colorado. I think Candido's moving to Colorado or Texas or something.
What thing could they be looking for in Colorado?
Yeah, maybe Colorado. I think it's Texas, though. I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he was moving to Texas.
Maybe he can drive on over.
We'd love to have Candido here.
Should you get shredded and then get strong? Did we say that one?
Or
should you get shredded and then get strong, or should you hit your strength goals and then get shredded?
It just depends on which one you want to do, which one you're more into. You know, you got to just prioritize your goals, and then you have to go after that goal with everything that you have.
Which one do you want to stick?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, you know, I just played along with the sport, you know, when I was in the sport and when I was in my heyday or prime, quote unquote.
The golden days.
Yeah, the golden days. People wore double-ply gear, and they tried to stuff themselves into the tightest shit possible, and they got as fat as they could be to lift big weights, and that's exactly what I did, and I did that to my best of my ability, got as fat as I fucking could, as bloated as I could.
You were great at it.
Yeah, I was fucking awesome.
How fat would you be if McDonald's all-day breakfast lasted?
Oh, that would have helped a lot. That would have helped a lot. It took a long time to get that fat. But you know, just prioritize your goals. You know, if you want to be, you know, the best raw lifter in a certain weight class, and fucking go after that with everything you got. If you'd rather be shredded, you can go after that. But like, you have to pick one or the other to go after, you know, one at a time.
Hard to ride two horses with one ass.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. It's just going to be difficult. I mean, you gotta pick and choose which one you want to do first.
Yeah, it's a compromise.
And the guys that do it well have been doing it forever. Lane Norton wasn't always shredded and squatting 600, right? Yeah. I mean, I think he's close to Mark's age. He's been lifting forever.
Lane Norton probably started out skinny. Most of these people that you see that are shredded nowadays usually start out fairly thin.
Bastards.
Stan Efferding was really skinny. Any pro bodybuilder, I think I've asked this of other pro bodybuilders. And I asked them specifically if any of the top Mr. Olympia guys were fat, and everyone said no. Like, everybody was skinny. So
maybe genetically they have less of an appetite, and also genetically maybe their metabolism's
might have
a
less
little harder.
Fat cells. And
right, yeah, they can eat a little bit more calories and put on muscle a little easier.
I would say also, too, you know, just you can stay in pretty good shape and power lift and get stronger all at the same time.
You don't got to get sloppy.
You don't have to get disgusting with it. You don't have to just eat disgusting food all day long.
What is it? Wendler says about 15% body fat. If you can maintain about 15, you're riding the line between strength and aesthetics.
Here's a bunch of stuff, too, that says, like, what body fat percentage you have the most testosterone kicking and you'll recover the most and kind of be more optimal for gaining muscle, which is probably anywhere, I think, 12 to 17 or something.
It could be a little bit individual, too, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then most people have no idea what body fat they are. Everyone thinks they're jacked.
Everybody thinks they're so much lower.
6%. Have you ever thought about a slingshot designed to teach middle school and even earlier high school kids to bench properly?
The slingshot works.
A lot of kids, elbows flare way too early. The reactive slingshot would be a decent start for most of those individuals that you're mentioning. They could do push-ups with it.
Also going a size up, and they could probably bench with it, with given the cues without being too restrictive.
You definitely don't want it to be too tight. But you can also use a hip circle as well. Buy a larger hip circle. They could kind of mess with that as a device that would teach, you know, be a decent learning tool for that. But really, you know, just benching with equal strength on both arms, and learning how to do some dumbbell bench pressing, and learning how to do some just regular barbell bench pressing, and really controlling it. The slingshot is more of something that somebody would purchase after they've already been lifting for at least a little while. It's not something that you have to start your training with. Most of us start training with nothing. The training starts between your ears, and you just start going to the gym. And then after a while, you're like, I'm starting to get a little strong. My wrists kind of hurt. Maybe I should wrap them with something. Then you buy some wrist wraps and so on as you go down the road. But you could start lifting without much of anything. But if you're trying to find something to give them a better cue, try the hip circle.
Boom.
What else we got? Somebody says, what would you be doing if super training didn't exist? And then
video games.
Said, when are you going to attempt 600 next? You know, these guys that jumble in two questions at one time, you got to really wonder how they were raised, you know? It's not very... That's
getting selfish?
Very fucking needy. I'll go for 600 pounds in March. If this pec thing is healed up good enough, the new goal is 611 pounds. Try to surpass that 600 and then some. And then where would I be if super training didn't exist? I don't really know. Super training has become a big part of everything I do now, and a big part of I don't know, social outlets and all kinds of stuff. So, and it's been riding out for 10 years now. So that's a difficult question to answer. But I'd probably be dead. I probably would have shot myself.
It's so sad.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Let's take one more and then get the fuck out of here. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Sounds good.
And I have no questions. I'm out of questions.
All right, we got to find one more.
Find a goodie.
What made you walk away from wrestling? That's a pretty good one.
I'll answer that after Silent Mike tells us. Why is Silent Mike a 275er now, or is he just happy to get fat?
I believe.
What do you weigh? You weigh 275?
Yeah, me and Marcus are going to go head-to-head at 275.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it would be really
gross.
What
are you, 210, 215?
Yeah, I'm probably 215.
I think Mike is the 231 weight class. Is
231 the, weight class.
So he's just going to not maybe not max it out, but he's going to
weigh what
gain,
you weigh.
Just gain some weight going into the meet.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know if I can. I pretty much top out at like 220. Like, yeah. I mean, I ate half a pizza with Mark on Saturday. I just ate crackers on
you
the way over
half
here.
Half a pizza?
Yeah.
You pussy. Yeah. You should be able to eat a whole pizza.
Yeah, they were big. It was a big Mountain Mike's pizza. I can't. Yeah, I don't think I could get.
Any chance you guys will make your way to Tampa? No.
He didn't have to even ask that question. He just wanted to tell you guys no. Well,
however, my boy is down that way. My boy John Cena. So I may be there, but I may not tell you.
You're going to go there, but you're not going to find your way there.
Wrestling. I said when I started wrestling that I'd give it 5 years. My 5 years were up, so I fucking bowed out. Because I kind of thought, like, at the end of 5 years, I'd be able to get myself a contract. I was kind of right on the cusp, but I already had a child, my son Jake. And I was just like, you know what? It would probably take me another couple of months or maybe even another full year to get a contract. And then even if I did get a contract, the contract would suck. I'd probably only make, $500 or depending on – at that time, I think it was about $500 a week. Once you make it further than that, then you start to travel. They start to try you out for TV and stuff. And I was just like, I'm a long ways away from that. So yeah. it might have taken me, you think like, oh, if I get a contract, that'll be cool. And then I'll be in, but that's like only the fucking very beginning.
It's like the NFL, right? Like 60% of shit is players flying. Only make it a year or something.
Shit is flying really, really fast. And, either you're in or you're in the way. You're either part of it or you're not. And even John Cena, who's basically a WWE legend at this point, 15-time world champ, if he goes down, he's hurt. He's out. You're out. There's not going to stop the show for you or for anybody else. So at that point, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to have to move on and figure out something else to do.
Well, even if you get a contract, you're a little bit like a minor league baseball player. Like
exactly,
If you don't make the major leagues by the time you're 27 or 28, you're probably never going to. So you could be a career minor leaguer or you can move on.
Yeah. My dad has kind of always taught me that you should always be looking for the next thing, no matter what. You should never be complacent, never be happy or satisfied with where you currently are. You can be excited by it, but you should always kind of be looking in the next place to figure out where you can go achieve success in. So that was that.
Alrighty.
Motivational words to end the poop podcast.
Mm-hmm. The poop cast.
Pooper cast.
We got anything else going on?
Super duper pooper. No, that's it, man. Holidays. Happy
holidays
everyone.
Coming up. Happy Thanksgiving. Should we just say that? Because
we can say it. I have no idea when I'm dropping this one for
I
sure.
Do love
how much turkey did you guys eat?
Thanksgiving might help
all
me
the turkey.
Get up
it's
to
actually,
231.
We never say what day it is, but it actually is. We should probably say the day every once in a while. It's November 16th because it might trip people out.
So November 16th. Because
it might actually be like the 21st or the 25th or something.
Yeah, it'd probably be 25th or the 2nd.
It's possibly the 25th. Yeah, we'll see.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, everybody?
I love Thanksgiving.
The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria?
I don't know.
The Macarena?
I don't know.
We need to grab a couple more guests here before Gigi.
Should we get a couple more guests or should we just guess?
We should guess. Some guests.
Guess some guests.
I'll guess a fucking guest.
Yeah, people got to help us out with The Rock.
Everyone go tweet The Rock.
Yeah.
Powercast and
punch
tag
him,
us in it. And
punch
we'll,
him in the
fucking. We'll get him on there.
Punch him in the wanger.
Yep.
Bo Jackson, we still haven't heard from you, Bo.
He's ditching us.
Sent him an email. Sent him a text.
He's dipping on us.
Sent him a text.
Of course, one of the big ones.
Yeah. Sent him a
Channing,
fucking.
Let's just get Channing Tatum on here. Magic Mike.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a hell of a podcast.
Have an ab off with him.
Yeah. You guys can have a dance off.
Oh, that'd be. I would make
oh,
you
would kick your ass.
That'd be awesome. Me and Tatum. Tatum, where you at, you fucker?
Pants off, dance off.
Yeah.
We never seen Mike sexy dance.
Yeah, I'll sexy dance
Mike's
with
just like
Tatum.
Fun dancing. We never seen his sexy
dance. I don't
want
to think of him that way.
We'll just choose two random guys from the gym and lap dance all over him.
I don't want to think of Mike that way. Please help me.
Fat Dan would be good.
Yeah, he'll be nice cushiony. Wouldn't hurt.
More cushion for the pushing. I guess that's it. I don't want to go.
I need to go get food.
I miss you guys. All you guys out there listening.
All 8 of you ladies and all 100,000 of you.
Thank our sponsors, eight man strong, these guys right here. Don't forget to subscribe to Power Magazine. New one out with Fat Wesley Smith. Chad Wesley Smith.
Fat Wesley Smith.
Fat Wesley Smith. Congratulations to Chad Wesley Smith, 975 squat. 540 bench. He struggled in the bench a little bit, and then he hit another PR in the deadlift.
8:15.
He blew that sucker up pretty good. Also, our boy, big SC boy,
8:21 Instagram, 560, 8:21.
He fucking did awesome. He struggled in the bench a little bit too. I think his best bench ever is 589, but for some reason he had a little issue there in the bench press. What are other sponsors? Rogue Fitness.
Just at deepbarrowcast.com.
And Compex.
/Rogue. Compex USA at shopcompex.com.
And I've been compexing my pecs.
CavemanCoffeeCo.com.
Your pecs have been getting compexed?
I've been compexing it and putting ice cream on it.
Ice cream. That's what I need right now.
It's hard to tell what's benefiting the most.
But the Ben and Jerry's recovery method is working.
The synergy, I think, is what's causing.
Electric cream.
Yeah. No, the Compex has helped a lot though, because it's kind of making me, what it's doing right now is making me flex an area that I don't want to try to flex on my own because I did tweak it pretty bad, and then also I'm putting it on the back of my shoulder, like rotator cuff muscles. I don't know how to fucking flex my rotator cuff muscles, so the thing's flexing them for me. Works pretty goddamn good. Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle. I'm at Mark Smiley Bell on Instagram and Twitter. May all your shits be tapered.
At Silent Mike 2K's Instagram and Twitter.
Jimmy D, STTV on Instagram and Twitter. Follow the show on Instagram at Mark Bell's Powercast. Facebook.com/SuperTrainingJim and Twitter and Periscope at SGJimSack and Instagram at SuperTraining06. And we're out.
Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of